Man, you may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We are, and honestly, I have absolutely no idea how many lessons we've taught on the love of God. It's been a bunch. I'm guessing somewhere in the neighborhood of 22 to 25 sermons already. But I'm not sure tonight is the last, but we're getting closer to the end. But Ephesians 3, I'm going to teach something tonight, and I hate to say this, but I really need your attention. I need your brains. I need you thinking about what I'm saying and not what you've been thinking about all day or whatever that you're going to do tomorrow, your new toys or whatever. But I really need you to think with me here. Ephesians 3, let's start reading in verse 16. You follow along. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Watch this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, God is great.
Amen.
God is sinless.
Yes, sir.
He's eternal. He's perfect. And there's no way that we sinful, dying, finite, human minds cannot quite understand the love of God to its fullest. There's just no way that because of our sin that we could understand it all. By the way, listen to this statement. God does not expect you to understand him. There is not one verse in this Bible that says God expects us to understand him, because we cannot. Matter of fact, he says, your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He says hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, though, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. So he doesn't expect us to understand him, but he does expect us to trust him. For us to understand God, we would have to be equal or greater than God to understand him. Children and teenagers, you think you know more than your parents know. The day will come where you'll understand your parents knew more than you thought you knew. What you said, I'll never do that, and it comes out your mouth, you'll find out that's why your parents did that. It's there. Now, this doesn't mean that he does not want us to comprehend his love. There's a difference between comprehending and understanding. God tells us in Ephesians 3:18 that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Wow. He's talking about God's love, that we may be able to comprehend. That word comprehend means perceive, understand, recognize when it's there. It doesn't mean understand. It means to perceive or to get a hold of. We may not be able to understand it, but he wants us to be able to recognize or to grab a hold of it when we do perceive that it's there. That's what God's talking about here. Now, notice something to me that is very sweet here. I want you to, if you mark in your Bibles, look at verse 18 with me again. May be able to comprehend, watch the next three words, with all saints. That's not the Catholic Church either. All right, the All Saints Church. That means this, it's for every Christian. It's not for preachers only. You know, there's very few truths in the Bible that are for preachers only. Most of the Bible was written to the common man. And this is one of those truths, one of those promises that's for the common man. God made it reachable for the common man to comprehend the love, the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God. Now, that means this. We might not be able to understand it all, but God's made it so all of us can comprehend it when it's there. Now, listen to me very carefully. There are four parts to comprehending or perceiving or getting a hold of God's love. Let me explain it this way. I've dealt with a lot of college-age young people. I still have one. But I've dealt with Bible colleges running 1,800, 2,000 students, and I've dealt with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of college-age young people, and I've probably been asked this question 400 or 500 times easily. Brother Bush, how do you know when you met the right one? How do you know when you're in love? I said, are you asking me or are you telling me? Well, I'm asking. If you're asking me, you're not ready yet. Then you can come back and tell me. We'll talk about it. They'll walk away scratching their head. And I, then every once in a while, they'd come back and say, Brother Bush, I'm telling you. I said, now let's sit down and talk. They finally started perceiving, comprehending what love was. It's not something that you can put down on paper saying, okay, they've got to be this height, this weight, they've got to have this color eyes, this color hair, and they've got to walk this way, and they've got to be from this place. It's not Burger King. Order what you want and have it your way. Amen? Now, I think there are principles by which you should guide your decision. But, good night, I watch people try to get put together at college, and we had college teachers that would, they were known as the dating teachers. Say, what did you do around them? Absolutely nothing, and stayed as far away as I could. I don't need somebody putting it together. God will put it together when God was ready, and God did. By the way, mine's lasted most of, well, not most, but many of what they'd put together didn't. I didn't need somebody making it happen when I understood after 3 days of being at the same place at the same time with the same person, God finally says, hey, stupid, are you going to ask her out? Yeah. No. Didn't think about it. Well, time to think about it. So I did. And didn't let anybody ask her out since. It's just the way it was. I perceived, finally, that it was the right thing and the right person. Now, I say that to say this. God says there are four parts to his love that we can comprehend. We're not going to understand all of God's love. But he made it available for all saints to comprehend at least four parts of his love. I want you to look at these tonight very quickly. Number one, God's breadth of love, B-R-E-A-D-T-H, not breath as in what you wake up with in the morning that will kill everybody. All right? it's breadth, and that word means wideness or spread out over a vast area. Can I tell you something? God's love is not confined to a small area. God's love is not confined to a very minimal place. Did you know that God loves us here at Grace Baptist Church, but he loves all saints? He loves every Christian. He loves every Bible preaching church. He loves every church that's doing what he wants done that says in this book what we're supposed to be doing. That means there are pastor friends of mine in Maine and New Jersey and in the Carolinas and in Florida and in other parts of West Virginia, out in Texas and up in Illinois and other places where I have friends and in, some other states I'm trying to think real fast. Anyway, that I communicate with regularly. Kentucky, do you know that God's love is reaching them tonight? You know, sitting in Lexington, Kentucky right now, Brother Fugit's getting up ready to preach. And God loves that church. God loves those people. His love is not confined to our own little sphere of influence. Everybody look at me for a second.
I believe in family time. But I believe more
in everybody in the family loving each other like they're supposed to. I believe family time is a little,
I'm for it, but I know preachers that are so much for family time that there's no God time.
I hate to tell you something. If your children only read the Bible when they're with you, you're not a good parent. If your children only pray when you're together as a family, when the family's not all there, what's their Christianity going to be?
I'm for the family praying together. I'm for the family reading the Bible together.
But I'm just as for you teaching your kids to get alone for 15, 20, 30 minutes and read the Bible by themselves and pray by themselves. Say why? Because one day you won't be there to have devotions with them. And what are they going to do? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Now, I didn't say don't have family devotions. What I said was, don't just have family devotions. Teach them to walk with God when they're by themselves. We have too many people that only have family devotions, and daddy becomes God and gets this God mentality, and then the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about, and then we got problems. And I've dealt with this for a long time. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm having fun here. God's love covers all area, all people, and all the earth. Yeah, I have missionary friends all over the world. Got them in Costa Rica, got them in South America, got them in Africa and Asia and Europe and all over the world that I know missionaries. And can I tell you something? God's love's there as much as it is here. God's love is not bound. Listen to this statement. Everybody, listen real carefully here. God's love is not bound by geography. People spend way too much time wondering about the geographic center of God's love. Can I tell you something? It covers all areas. Did you know you can't take the gospel to the wrong person?
Right.
Do you know you can't preach to the wrong person? Now, I believe there's places we should not go and associate with. That is a true statement. But I've preached in bars. I've preached on street corners. I've preached on public transportation trains and all that kind of stuff, the L trains in Chicago. I've preached the L train stations. I've preached in churches. I've preached in tents. I've preached in the outdoors. I've preached in camps. I've preached in brush arbors. I've preached in four-sided buildings with no roof in Mexico. I've preached, you name it. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter the geography. It matters the fact that God's love covers it all. I deal sometimes with young Bible college students that are getting ready, and we want to find out exactly where God wants me. I always say, you can't take it to the wrong place. Well, what if I go to this town and God wants me over there? He'll let you know. But those people need to get saved too. You go do the what of the will of God, he'll show you the where. The what's far more important than the where. We get so worried about the where, we don't do the what. Watch people sit in college after they graduate for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, not going out doing anything anywhere, waiting for God to show them where to go. Well, get off your blessed assurance and go do something. I think God would forgive you for having thousands of people saved in the wrong city. I just believe that. Now, you can't take the gospel to the wrong area. Just like you can't love the wrong people. God wants us to see how wide and how far-reaching his love is, yet, listen to this statement.
It's for everybody, but he loves me individually.
You know, I love every person in this room. I really do. I love every person in this room, and I love you uniquely. But I love one more than all of you.
That one.
And then I love two, pretty close to that, that are sitting right behind her, my mom and dad. Past that, I love everybody pretty much so equally, but individually. I've known Brother Stoltz a long time. I'm going to love him in a different way than I love April. Say why? Because she's harder to love. No, she's not. But April's more like a sister to me.
my older sister, much older sister.
But I can love April more like a sister. I can't love Brother Stoltz like a sister.
I'd be my messed up sister.
He told me he's taking some kind of medicine and he's going to be a dizzy blonde. I said, brother, you got to have hair to be a blonde. You can call you Dizzy Scalp, but not Dizzy Blonde. Amen. But, you know, God wants us to realize he loves everybody, but he loves me individually as well.
Yes, sir.
That's the breadth of God's love. Next, God's length of love. I thought that was to me, that's a funny statement in the Bible. I don't know why, but the length of God's love. That means eternal in years. It means a period of time. Can I tell you something? God's love is not limited by time.
Yes, sir.
It's not limited by age. It's not limited by generation. And it's not limited by eternity. Did you know that God can love a child as much as he can love an old man? Sorry, Brother Fred. An old man? You know, God's not limited in his love by time. And by the way, when one of our loved ones passes away, guess what? They're with Jesus. Amen. If they're saved.
Yes, sir.
And his love is not limited then.
Yes, sir.
His love is not limited by even life and death, because it's always been there for us. So, God loves old people as much as children, and he loves everybody in between. We live in a world that the Bible predicts it. It's all about the child, all about the children. Did you ever notice how much emphasis is placed on children and how little is placed on working adults?
Yes, sir. That's right.
I was at the DMV, like I said earlier. And maybe the second half of the tribulation is better. I'm not sure. But I was standing in line, and I finally, after about 35 minutes, got through the line and had to sit down for another hour. And old person after old person after old person standing there. Some of them had to have somebody come with them so that they could go sit down and stand in line for them till it was their turn and then get up and go. And as all they wanted to do was renew their handicap sticker. Now, I'll be honest with you. The construction bubba and I were sitting next to him. I said, that makes me mad. He said, Reverend. I said, it makes me mad. He said, what? I said, I got a 90-year-old, a guy that's in his 80s, and his wife's nearly 90. I said, they've been in line. They were just a few people behind us, and all they want to do is redo their handicap sticker. I said, they need to have somebody at that desk just for handicapped people. They come in, take care of it, turn around, and leave. Period. End of discussion. I said, waiting that long is stupid. I was getting angry. If I could have gave them my place, I would have. I said, I can't even give them my number because they've already got everything pre-done in the computer system. I said, it just angers me that they've got to wait an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to get their handicap thing. And it was sad. I wasn't a real happy person. Now, I tried to be nice. For the last half hour, I stood at the door and opened up the door for people as they were walking in and out. And some of them walked in and out at the same time. Too long of a line. I'm getting out of here. Okay, I'll hold the door again for you. We know how you feel, but I'm at the point of no return. And I tried to do nothing but be kind and smile. One guy walked, he said, you work here? I said, no, sir. I said, I'm waiting like everybody else. He said, good thing you told me that. I was getting ready to light into you. I said, I could tell. I said, I'm just working the door. I'm waiting like everybody else. He said, what are you working the door for? I said, to be nice. He said, sure beats what I was thinking about doing here. Said, I'm not asking. I think he's going to go postal at the DMV, amen? Now, wait a minute. The length of love. God's love lasts eternally no matter what. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, watch this. Look at verse number 8. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says God commandeth his love. He commanded himself to love us even in that while we were yet sinners. When we were not even his children, he loved us. God loves us whether we love him or not. That will get me into the next statement here. And that is this, God's depth of love. So we have the breadth, we have the length, and we have the depth. I love this. It's the word profundity, profound, beyond casual thinking. I'm going to try not to use big words that people don't understand, but your average theologian thinks they're profound. They think they go deep in the Word of God. They believe that you've got to exegete the Scriptures to properly understand them. And we've got to go word by word, verse by verse, through the Bible teaching so everybody understands every word. Well, it doesn't take a whole lot of sense. Even a redneck can understand. Ye means you. You know, you can open up anywhere you want. It's really not that hard to figure out. It was written at a fourth grade level. Now listen to me very carefully. God's love goes deeper than man's intellect. Let me say that again. God's love goes deeper than man's intellect. Man is so impressed by his own intellect. We now have intellectual fundamentalists. We're losing our soul winning to teach the Bible. We have people trying to be so spiritual. Well, we must disciple our converts. We've got to have discipleship classes, and we've got to have this class, and we've got to have that class. And church has become a seminary and not a revival meeting. Everybody doing okay? We've got to have our pretty outlines and put them on screens and entertain people and have our shows so that we can properly balance their teaching and their intellect and stimulate their intellectualism for God. Vomit. God's not impressed with that. God's love is deeper than man's intellect. May I say this? I'd rather read the Bible than go talk to some old drunk. Brother June, I'd rather pray than go knock on doors, have people cuss me out and slam doors in my face. Don't you think I'd rather spend time with God than go do things where people are going to criticize me for it? We've almost gotten to the point where we're so spiritual we don't do what God wants us to do. It's not a matter of them not being spiritual, but their spirituality has taken them beyond service. And they think they're so profound. Now, listen to me very carefully. God's love is deeper than education. God's love is deeper than facts. And my favorite statement of the night. God's love is deeper than all the different types that they teach that God didn't teach in the Bible. When you hear these preachers on the stupid radio saying, well, this is a type of this, and this is a type of that, and this is the just do me a favor, hit the off button and start praising God that you don't have to listen to that mess. Very few types in the Bible are actually types in the Bible. Well, and I've heard preachers preach whole sermons on somebody's name. You know, that person's name was given to them before they ever did anything. My name was given to me before I ever did whatever my name means. Probably means mud to most people. Now, wait a minute. They didn't pick their name. Their parents did. So for us to write a whole sermon or hear a whole sermon about what this person's name means and how that this is what happened and they go through it, that's not scriptural. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily unscriptural, but before they hatched me, my name was picked out. It was Charlie. I was about 10 years old before I found out my name wasn't Charlie. That's what my dad called me. I don't know why. I think I was 20 before I found out my mom's name wasn't George. I'm not kidding. When George Bush became president, I had to look twice to see if it was my mother. Because growing up, my mom's name was George. Still is. Somebody asked me the other day, I think it was at the DMV, the lady says, Bush, are you related to George? I said, yep. He said, you are? I said, yeah, it's my mom. What? Said, these days, you got to be careful how you say that. You know, Craig's got two dads and one's a mom. Ooh, wait a minute here. It was a little crazy. The lady looked at me and I said, you got to understand my dad. And I just went through a quick story. She started laughing. Oh, wait a minute. The depth of love. We get into all these types. Brass is a type of judgment. And one is the number of unity. Two is the number of man. Three is the number of the Trinity. And five is the number of this. And six, you know what? There's a lot of numbers given in the Bible. There ain't nothing, no type for it ever given anywhere in Scripture. Now, when the Lord gives a parable and he says, the seed is the word. Okay, the seed is a representation of the word.
Amen.
Then you can say that's a type.
Right.
But past that, if it doesn't say that, they're full of prunes and beans.
You're right.
All right. God's love sustains life for every person who hates him, denies him, and refuses to accept him. Yep. Do you know God's love is deep enough to sustain life for everybody that hates him? To the Muslim wanting to kill every Christian, God's love's deep enough to sustain their life.
Wow.
To the Satan worshiper, God's love is deep enough to give them life, breath, food, and a place to live. God's love is deeper than any of man's religion. Everybody doing okay? God's love provides the needs of all humans. The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Now watch this. Man's religions are vengeful, wanting to destroy those who disagree. The Muslims, the Catholics, I could go on and on and on. You know, the Catholics have killed more Christians than the Muslims have?
That's right.
Let me blow your historical button here.
Martin Luther, the great Protestant Reformation.
Do you know that Martin Luther killed Baptist people?
Yes, he did.
He hated them. He killed more than the Pope did.
Yep.
Martin Luther's not a great Christian hero.
That's right.
Just so you know. If Martin Luther were alive today, I'd be on towards the top of the list of a number one suspect. Amen. You say why? Because he hated Christians. He was as against Christianity as the Catholics were. He just didn't want the Pope telling him what to do. Is all it was. He wanted to be the Pope. Everybody doing okay? Here we go. Man's religions are vengeful by wanting to destroy those who disagree. God's love is profound enough to provide for those who disagree with him. Education by man without the Bible makes a lousy God. We have allowed education to become God in America. Let me say that again. We've allowed education to become God in America. Back before my generation, not many people went to college. Now, everybody goes to college, whether they can pay for it or not. Everybody doing all right? College wasn't intended for everybody to have to go to. Well, we ought to make it available for everybody to go to college. No, everybody ought to get off their backside and work hard enough to get through it on their own. Sorry. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Let me read you a quote from the LA public school system in the news today. Put it in here today. The LA public school system said that they will be a sanctuary for illegal immigrants against all unjust laws, unjust action, contrary to our school value system. We will not allow ICE into the LA public school system to check anybody's immigration status ever. Now let me ask you a question. Where does a school system get off being the judge of what the law is? Who made them judge of whether it's constitutional or not? First of all, they're there supposed to support the law, not break the law. By the way, that's why they tell you
as soon as your child starts in the public school system, they're no longer your child, they're theirs. And they know better than a parent on how to raise the kid. Well, look what's running the country, and how did the school system do?
Everybody doing all right? Man's education makes a pretty bad God. When they started kicking the Bible out of the schools and kicking truth out of the schools, look what we have. How in the world could Bernie Sanders even be elected into office as a socialist? Socialism is the fastest growing political party in America today. And I'll tell you where it's taking place, and it's taking place in public schools from kindergarten all the way through college. It's not just on college campuses. It's being taught in the curriculum from kindergarten up. That's why you have gender neutralism. Everybody's the same. My wife and I, before we left, saw the news, and some lady was all ticked off in Leesburg this week because some guy had painted on the back of his Ford Ranger 1 Corinthians 13:4 that a woman's supposed to be silent in the church and be submissive. And she was so offended that she took pictures of it, and they did a whole news story on how hurtful and how spiteful and how mean that is and how offensive that is. The Word of God is not offensive unless you're a sinner. Everybody doing all right? Then they had some sissy britches little panty waist preacher up there. Well, Paul meant this by that. He didn't mean this. It was just everybody was doing this, and Paul was trying to gain order in the church. It had nothing to do with Paul. God wrote it, not Paul.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. The height of God's love, lastly. The height of love. Height means dignity, superiorness, or supremeness. God's love treats everybody with dignity, not just the person of high position or popularity. Do you know that when, Brother Stoltz, you and I have been out soul winning a lot, I can meet a homeless person and treat them with the same dignity that I can treat some politician? I don't treat anybody higher than somebody else. When I see Dr. Anderson, I won't treat him with any more respect than any human being in this room right here. Matter of fact, I probably treat you with as much or more because I know you better. I live with y'all. He's going to be going home after 24, 48 hours. I've been around big shots. You know what a big shot is? Big shot's a little shot that keeps on shooting. That's all it is. We're supposed to treat everybody the same. God saved the vomiting drunk as much as he would the President of the United States. God's love doesn't change from the homeless poor person to the multimillionaire. God's love is the same. You know that I've watched Russell Anderson sitting in a restaurant. My wife and I was with him last year. We were sitting at a restaurant. A little lady came up to the table to serve the table, and you could tell she wasn't well off. Probably a single mama, struggling, waiting tables. He opened the Bible, gave her the gospel, gave her a big tip. He said, "Lady, you're making more money serving tables than I did in the coal mines." And he's got a $25,000 ring on one side and a $25,000 Rolex there and a $25,000 ring on that hand. Now, wait a minute. He said, I remember what it's like to be poor. His favorite statement, he said, we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention. Whereas Dr. Fugit would say, we were so poor when somebody broke into our house, they felt bad for us and tried to put something in. We helped them try to find something. Now, wait a minute. God's love doesn't change from the homeless person to the person that's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's the same love. Listen to this statement. Our condition does not determine God's love. it's the same for all conditions. Whether it goes well or not isn't a barometer of God's love. God's love is there when it's going well. God's love is there when it's not going well. God's love is there when the doctor says everything's fine, and God's love is there when he says, you got cancer. God's love is there when everything's going well, and God's love is there when the phone rings and someone has died. I got word this week, friends of ours, lady who has cancer. Got word this week of someone I know that's passed away in a distant state. I could go on and on and on and on. May I say something? God's good and God's love is there, whether it's going well or whether it's not going well. Whether everything is puppy dogs and pussy willows or whether it's all vomit and dirty diapers. It doesn't matter. God's love is there. And the condition of what's going on, it's not fair to judge God by his love because, well, I'm just having a tough time right now. God must not love me, says who? Quit using the barometer of goodness as God's love. God's love's there whether it's good or bad. I gotta hurry. Brother Stoltz, I got done Sunday night, 1 minute before 7. Found out you're the reason with all your songs that we're so late. We need to look above what we humans see as love to see his love. The height of love is going above what we see as love to see love as he sees love. We see love by getting all these things. Everything going smooth. Everything going well. That's why when you take your wedding vows, the preacher's supposed to say, in sickness as in health. In poverty as in wealth. For rich or for poor. Whereas my wife and I did, for poor and for poorer. You know, those vows are there. It just because it's hard doesn't mean you're not married. I'm just as married, just as in much love when it's going well, and just as married when it's not going well. You see, the love isn't determined by the barometer of how good things are. The love is there whether it's going well or not. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me finish. My favorite thing of the whole night. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, watch this, which passeth knowledge. Now, Brother Stoltz, I'm going to need your help for a second. Are you feeling okay? You okay to stand up? Okay, I'm going to have you stand right here. You can lean up against the pulpit so that you don't vomit when you stand up here, all right? He'll represent knowledge. Not much. But there's enough space in there, he could represent it, all right? He represents knowledge. That's where the average Christian lives, is in knowledge. God says that the love of Christ might pass knowledge. That means it was behind at first, comes alongside, and surpasses. When I started dating my wife, I thought I knew her. After being married for 28 years, I know her. And she knows me and wishes she didn't do it 30 years ago. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? The love of Christ will pass knowledge. Why do preachers only want to stay in knowledge? Why do churches only want to stay in knowledge? I want the love of God. I want the love of God to permeate this church so that we can pass the knowledge. I was talking to that veteran today, 74-year-old man. I gave him the motto of our church. We're a hospital, not a museum. Amen. He said, I got to write that down. I got to find me. I said, here, you got a 3x5 card? I'll do it. I wrote it down for him. He said, how much bickering you got going on in your church? I said, none. I don't let none of that mess. I said, we're out soul winning, telling folks about Jesus. We're so much talking about God, we don't have time to talk about each other. Amen. I said, I don't play any of those games where somebody messes up and you bring them before the church and tell them all the bad things they done. Nothing that anybody in that congregation can do about it anyway. Who gives a flip? And if they're saved, it's under the blood. God doesn't see it. And who gives a rip? Amen. He said, I got to come visit your church. I said, I told you I was old-fashioned. He said, I'll say. Can I tell you something? That's how we live. I was very glad to say we don't have cliques in our church. Everybody in their own little corner doing their own little thing. We don't have enough corners to do our own thing. Amen? Good night. To go from one side of the room to the other, you got to be careful so you're not indecent or immoral. It's too tight in here. That means we have the same knowledge of His love, or the some knowledge of His love, but His love passes our knowledge. I thought I knew how to love my wife when I was 20, 21 years old. Boy, did I have a lot to learn. A few frying pans later, I was okay. That's messed up. Can I tell you something? I thought I knew how to love her. After 28 years of doing it, I've learned how to love her. I thought I knew how to love my parents when I was a child. Now that they're older and I'm older, I know how to love them. Can I tell you something? There's a point in time where love passes knowledge. When you allow your knowledge to pass your love, you're cheating God and cheating everybody else. Allow your love to pass your knowledge. Well, I don't want to be ignorant. I'd rather be ignorant and know how to love than be as smart and don't know how to love. I know a lot of smart people that I wouldn't want to be like. Because they don't know how to love. Well, that's too easy. You easy believe Christians. Yeah. And the love of God which passeth all knowledge. That you might know, again, for all saints. Not just the preacher. Not just somebody serving God full time. It's for all of us to know. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. That we might know the breadth and height and depth, length of His love. As the piano begins to play,